Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves Wired Podcast. For the second year in a row, Tim Fakeless and myself, Zachary Bennett, are hosting a podcast in the midst of Super Bowl Sunday. And not just Super Bowl Sunday, during the game.
Yeah.
Because this is not a football podcast. We need to continue to do our jobs, as it were. But we did watch the halftime show. How about that Lady Gaga, huh?
That was pretty fun. I'm not going to lie.
Crushed it. Alchia killing it.
She put on a good show. I was thoroughly entertained for someone that is not really a Gaga fan. As far as pop singers go, she's definitely upper echelon. But, man, yeah, she killed it.
What did she come out to? Poker Face?
Yeah. Well, first she did those, like, patriotic songs.
Yeah, there was, like, the national anthem bit, but then she came out to Poker Face, and I believe your words.
That song's a jam.
Bam.
It is.
I don't disagree.
As far as Gaga songs go, well, I'm not even going to say that. As far as songs go, that song's a jam.
That one's a hit.
It's a good song.
And then she did her ballad, and she was doing her ballad, and I was like, well, is this what she's really going to end it on? And you're like, yeah, what do you mean? And I'm like, I pulled up her little Discog.
Yeah.
I'm like, what about, and what did she close it on?
Bad Romance.
Yeah, Bad Romance. Nailed it. Saw some disappointment on the timeline that Beyonce didn't come out and perform the telephone song with her. I don't know what that was about.
Isn't she pregnant?
She is. But pregnant Beyonce performing? Why not?
Man, we're getting real celeb gossipy here. This is good.
I'm still waiting for her to bring Missy Elliott out, but oh well.
I was thinking Eve might come out this year.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of throwback jams, Blackstreet halftime performance.
That was fantastic.
During the Wolves' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies 107-99, that was a halftime performance. I'll say it.
Okay.
The best artist to perform at halftime at a Wolves game since I've been covering the team in the last 3 years. What do you think?
I listed them, I think, and it's not a great list. And to that point, yes. Like I said something about
how Ice is there. Well,
Montel Jordan.
Oh,
this is how we do it.
Jeepers.
Belle Biv DeVoe, Poison. That's a good song. Vanilla Ice, Young MC, Blackstreet, and there was one other. Rob Bass.
I have no idea who that last one is.
Oh, God. It takes two. It takes two to make a thing go right.
Oh, yeah. Basically, every song they play over the...
You just got me to sing on the podcast.
February 5th, 8 p.m.
I finally get my speaking voice back, and I'm singing Rob Bass on the pod.
Yeah. That's all you have for the list?
That's all I have in front. I know when I was a kid, Brian McKnight performed... but that was like 15 years ago. I'm not really counting him because he was, I guess, semi-relevant at that point, like in 2004. Do you know who that is, Brian McKnight?
No. Sing one of his songs, please.
No.
Well,
he must be old now.
In actual Wolves basketball news.
Oh, yeah, we are a Wolves podcast, aren't we? Uh-oh. Who got hurt?
The Minnesota Timberwolves announced Saturday that an MRI taken at Mayo Clinic by team orthopedic surgeon Dr. Diane Dahm revealed that the Wolves guard, Zach LaVine, has a torn anterior cruciate ligament. Did I pronounce that correctly?
We'd have to call Lucas Seehafer for
In
that.
In the business, they call it ACL.
Are you saying that Zach LaVine has a torn ACL?
I'm saying he has a torn ACL. He will have surgery at a to-be-determined date and will miss the remainder of the season.
Just let the music
resonate
into your soul a little bit.
The last time I played this music was when you couldn't make it on a pod.
I listened to that podcast. That was amazing. Man, yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe my tweet was, I'm dead inside.
Yeah, mine was, today is stupid. Not to put anyone else down, but man, of all the people.
Right? The hardest, perhaps the hardest working player on the entire
roster. But seriously.
Roster. Yeah, the guy who has keys so that he can go shoot around in Mayo Clinic Square at midnight.
Yeah. The guy that, I mean, think about where he was his rookie year, his first month, to where he is now, where people are talking, I would argue, currently, prematurely, who do you need more, Wiggins or LaVine? Who should you trade? It's gotten to that point.
Yeah. Has the higher upside?
Yeah, exactly. He's worked his butt off, and I mean, from just a locker room persona standpoint, probably the realest guy in the locker room from what I've gathered. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not.
Yeah.
Upper echelon players.
On or off the record, you get the same dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they all work their butt off. So to say Zach LaVine works his butt off isn't to say that none of the other players don't.
Yeah, that lazy Carl Towns.
But, I mean, the late Flip Saunders described him as a gym rat all the time. I mean, that's who this guy was. This is who he is. He has Zach LaVine, that is, since sent out a tweet. It says, quote, thanks, everyone, for all your support. Minor setback, but I'll be back stronger than before. If you know me, you know hard work will get me through this. Going to be cheering for my guys the rest of the season. Hashtag T-Wolves. Well, the Wolves were 3-0 when LaVine was...
You think Wolves PR was pissed when they used the term T-Wolves?
What?
I don't think the Wolves like that term.
They don't?
No, I think they want Wolves and Timberwolves. T-Wolves they don't like. So when Marv Albert's always calling them the T-Wolves, I don't think they dig it.
I'm just going to call them the T-Wolves from now on at this point. Why? Everybody calls them the T-Wolves. The T-Pups? The T-Wolves? That's been their unofficial nickname for like as long as I can remember.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's unofficial, I think. Maybe that's why.
Oh, yeah. I suppose PR has to be official about it.
Yeah.
Well, they'll always... I mean, I guess... Until a certain era dies off, I guess they'll always be called the T-Wolves.
Yeah. On LaVine, I mean, man, there's not an upside to a 21-year-old averaging 20 points a game, or I guess, 18.6 or whatever it was, going out for a season. If you want to look for an upside, and it's as minor as it gets for most people, maybe not for you and me, Brandon Rush is probably going to be the starter the rest of the year. Brandon Rush, I think we were naming him during this most recent game against Memphis. Brandon, quote, I know how to play basketball, Rush.
It's so true.
He just knows what to do. All that said, he shot 1 of 5. But
whatever, he made all the right plays.
Yeah, he made good decisions every time.
I wanted him to get more playing time, but not like this!
Yeah, exactly.
Not like this! The sad violin music's supposed to be playing. This is awkward.
Yeah, I saw you go for the button. I'm like, this is going to be good. And then dead silence.
Well, sure enough, as I mentioned, the Wolves were 3-0 when, you know, in that recent stretch without LaVine. And then they start Brandon Rush in Saturday's 8 p.m. game against the Memphis Grizzlies, and they lose.
Yeah.
Memphis doesn't play
Gasol or Parsons, if I recall.
That is correct.
Or Tony Allen. Gasol out for rest. He was like on the, I don't know if it's injury report or whatever, but he's the only one that wasn't a coach's decision. Chandler Parsons and Tony Allen. Deontay Davis also. But
who?
Deontay Davis. I saw D. Davis and I thought Dale Davis is on the Memphis Grizzlies. But they didn't. No one played particularly well. I remember Rubio started off the game, I think, 4 of 8.
Shot, a hot shooting streak.
Shot 5 of 15 to finish the game. Towns played all right.
Rubio's had 6 games in a row where he scored double-digit points.
Here's a weird conundrum that I can't wrap my head around. Brandon Rush, minus 17. Ricky Rubio, minus 14. Towns, minus 11. Wiggins, minus 4. So the starters who Tibbs likes to play together, didn't play particularly well. All their plus minuses were in the minus, except for Gorgui Dieng, who played 35 minutes, plus 9. Stats are weird.
Yeah, especially plus minus. Gorgui Dieng didn't shoot well either. 1 of 6 from the field.
1 of 5 from Rush. 1 of 6 from Gorgui. 5 of 15. Rubio, 9 of 22, Andrew Wiggins, who I think turned it on in the second half, if I recall. I don't think he did much in the first. Don't quote me on that. I might be totally wrong.
You may be right. I mean, I forgot how the Wolves jumped out to an 18-point lead, but it didn't matter because they blew it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it by halftime, it had dwindled away. The Grizzlies outscored the Wolves 33-17 after the Wolves outscored the Grizzlies 31-15, and so basically equaling out a solid first quarter.
Also, man, the Grizzlies, 33 of 39 from the free throw line.
That's a lot of free throws, Dave.
That is an excessive number. That's like almost half of what Dwayne Wade shot that one finals game. And, I mean, Jermichael Green, 12 of 12. Mike Conley, 10 of 12. Good Lord.
If he didn't already, because I remember last year, Jermichael Green ate Nemanja Bjelica for breakfast.
And lunch.
And dinner.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
And brunch. His afternoon snack.
Brunch.
Dessert.
Midnight snack, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had some pizza in the fridge.
Jermichael Green goes 8 of 11, scores 29 points in this one. And, you know, granted, it wasn't all on Bjelica, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had himself a night. Goes a perfect 12 of 12 from the line. Just underwhelming.
Yeah, man. So I have a question that I told you I'd save yesterday, and I actually wrote it down. This is more broad-spectrum NBA related.
I'm prepared to answer to the best of my ability.
At what point is Mike Conley no longer underrated? Because I feel like he is unanimously known by every basketball person in the world as underrated, and if that is the case, he's no longer underrated, right?
I don't think he's underrated at all.
Thank you.
I think he's properly rated. Was he an All-Star last year?
He's never been an All-Star. I don't think. Wait. I could be wrong about that. God, I'm just providing false information today.
Fake news.
Yeah, alternative news.
Speaking of NFL, I'm glad the NBA isn't like the NFL, because the NFL has that whole Pro Bowl thing when no one wants to go.
No, he's never made the All-Star team.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
I was right.
Is it a travesty? Maybe, maybe not. Who cares?
It's the All-Star. I mean, they were talking about it on the game yesterday. How many point guards that are really good play in the Western Conference? It's insane.
A few.
Several. Damian Lillard didn't make the game. You could argue he's quite good.
There was a couple years ago when David Lee made it over Steph Curry.
That is a thing that happened.
That is the thing that happened, exactly. Well, I suppose this is how we'll see more minutes out of Brandon Rush. We will see more Andrew Wiggins at the two. What else do you think will happen to the rotation? More Chris Dunn and more Tyus Jones? Chris Dunn was sitting during last night's game, too.
He has a foot injury, if I'm not mistaken. He hasn't played the last two games.
And how long is he projected to be missing?
I believe it's day-to-day.
Day-to-day?
Yeah, I mean, Tyus shot the ball well, played his usual sketchy defense.
Had that nice pass to Shabazz Muhammad.
That was real nice.
Or was it before the end of the third quarter?
I don't know. He had more.
Those games have become just one blur.
Yeah. Well, I mean, man, it was just so much happiness for a while. They won 5 of 6, 8 of 11, and then just bam, 3 losses in a row. And by the way, you lose Zach LaVine for the season.
Sadness.
Thanks. We just can't have nice things around here for more than a month. It's not fair. But I don't know. Tyus Jones played okay. I think he shot the ball pretty well.
You know what you're going to get.
Had a couple crappy turnovers that I'm not used to seeing from him.
Yeah, there was the one drive in the lane where he just really lost it and it went out of bounds. And it looked like, you know, if you were to get on a basketball court after not playing for a few weeks and you tried to drive the lane on the first play and your body, you don't have full control of your body and you just kick it out of bounds.
I mean,
don't act like you haven't been there before, listeners.
Okay, after that silence where you guys get to think, Tyus is Tyus, right? Like, I don't know. You're going to get what you get from him.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason why he's probably not playing in general while Dunn is healthy.
If we're drawing,
because you're getting what you're getting from him, you might get more than what you get from Dunn eventually.
If we're drawing parallels between the Wolves team as it is currently constructed and the any of the Bulls teams that Thibodeau coached, he's essentially Aaron Brooks. Right? He's basically the Wolves' Aaron Brooks, more or less.
Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe not as explosive offensively. I don't know. But
I think his best case is like DJ Augustine. Maybe Aaron Brooks at his best when he was. Did he win Sixth Man of the Year once?
Aaron Brooks?
Didn't he?
Hell no, he didn't. Look at him.
Oh, man, I'm about to blow your mind.
There's no way. The Tim Look Stuff Up podcast coming soon to the Cold Omaha podcast.
No. Damn.
Yeah, no
way. He won Most Improved Player
Happy for
in 2010.
Yeah, no way.
He averaged 20 points and 5 assists, but he started.
Good for him.
So, disregard. Man, that was by far his best year.
Rockets,
the most points he averaged
Adelman?
Other than that was 11.
Under Adelman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Houston
oh, yeah.
Rockets?
That was Adelman for sure.
That's been like...
Was Yao still there in 2009-10?
Not sure.
I'm going to look that up now, too.
I was like... Yeah, I was 20, so I don't remember a lot of what was going on.
That was college. I watched a lot of basketball when I was in college, but I wasn't. That wasn't the forefront of my what I was doing. No, he missed that whole year, and then 10-11, he played 5 games.
Tragic.
Yeah, man, got his number retired this week.
So the Wolves are set to begin a nice little 5-game homestand where they take on the blistering hot Miami Heat.
Hot Heat.
Winners of 10 straight games. Can you believe it?
And they're still like 10 games under 5. They like just got to the point where the Wolves are now by going on this streak. That's pretty crazy.
Do you think Pat Riley's pulling out whatever hair he has left going?
He would never touch that beautiful, slick back Michael Douglas nonsense.
Losing out on our pick.
Yeah.
Goran Dragic?
He's good. Man, Hassan Whiteside. Like,
he had a 30-20 game, didn't
he? In 27 minutes.
Not bad.
It's certainly not bad. I don't know. I know Dragic has a special place in your heart.
When he
was with Phoenix, he was like my favorite point guard in the NBA, and that was like at the peak of Chris Paul. That was when John Wall was just coming out. He was just, God, I loved watching him get to the rim and finishing. He was Tony Parker-esque at the rim. Not athletic, but he just finished everything, and he was a good passer.
Yeah, one of my greatest moments as a basketball fan is sitting in my Amari Stoudemire rookie jersey, black, throwback, Phoenix Suns.
Nice.
Back when he wore 32.
Of course.
Because he changed his number from 32 to 1 after that. Watching Goran Dragic score 24 straight points in the fourth quarter to help Phoenix defeat the San Antonio Spurs in the playoffs. Sweep them, no less. Vengeance for, you know, the Tim Duncan bank shot, the D'Antoni lip flap, the whole bit. But after that, I don't have the music for Zach Reed's the schedule, and I don't care. So Monday, Miami Heat.
Tomorrow or today, depending on when
I will be
to
there.
It. I'll be there.
Wednesday against the Toronto Raptors. Friday against the New Orleans Pelicans. Sunday against the Chicago Bulls. And then next Tuesday, perhaps the Wolves will get a chance to or take the opportunity to redeem themselves for that absolutely abysmal defensive performance they put forth. Not so long ago, last Wednesday, February 1st, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers at home Tuesday, February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
You won't be there.
I won't. I won't. I'll be there for every game but that Tuesday, and then on Friday, I'll be there, but I won't be covering the game, hitting the metaphorical and literal town with the old college homies. We're going to go to the game. It's going to be fun. You can come out after.
I shouldn't.
I'm inviting you on the air.
I shouldn't.
I'll explain to you why that's not really an option. Never mind.
What did you make of the Detroit game? The 116-108 loss?
Man.
Pretty much a tightly contested game
the whole way. Yeah, I was going to say it was a close game, and it was won in a weird way. John Luer and Marcus Morris annihilated them.
Minnesota native John Luer,
Magic
Blue AAU team, no grad.
They held Drummond and Reggie Jackson to 10 of 27 shooting for 22 combined points. But Luer and Morris scored a combined, 60 points. 60.
it's a good thing I was sitting down.
Yeah. I mean, they otherwise played well. LaVine in his last game of the season, cue the sad music. 9 of 13, he was playing really well. Ricky Rubio was shooting well from deep. Like, everyone was playing okay, I think. It's just they couldn't stop these two regular role players. It was a goofy, goofy game. I don't know how to wrap my head around a game like that. It kind of halted whatever momentum they probably thought they had. Like, oh, you know, we were going to lose to Cleveland probably, but now we have a chance to go against Detroit. We're shutting down Reggie Jackson. We're taking down Andre Drummond. Things are going well. Marcus Morris hits a crazy corner three with, you know, a couple minutes left, I think, when the game was close. Just took all the life out of him.
Yeah, John Lewis hit a 3-2 that was
a
dagger.
Oh, he definitely hit the dagger.
Definitely the first NBA player I ever interviewed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to...
Have I not showed you the paper?
Oh, you definitely did. I take that back.
I did an article for HickoryHigh.com, but I ended up publishing it in Lakeshore Weekly, you know, the free newspaper you get at like grocery stores.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stuff, if you live close. I ended up hearing through the grapevine that his mom picked up like a stack of them and had them on the kitchen table. It just made me feel all warm inside.
That's awesome. First one I interviewed. Well, are you talking one-on-one interview?
Yeah, one-on-one.
Ooh.
It was during shoot around. This is after Zach Randolph stole my hot chocolate at the Starbucks across the street from.
That is a great story.
Inadvertently stole it, by the way.
I don't know who my first one-on-one would have been with. I'd have to think about that. The first dude I ever asked a question to was Nikola Pekovic. The first athlete I ever one-on-one talked to wasn't an NBA player. It was an NFL player in college.
Say more?
Blair Walsh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I still think he got
training camp.
I still think he got a raw deal.
I don't care. I don't know. Hope he's happy wherever he is.
We have to give shouts to Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah. He's been good.
The hottest 3-point shooter in the league since December 30th,
yeah.
I think was the split.
December 30th. Top 3-point shooter in the league. And I mean, he kept it up yesterday, if I recall. 2 of 3 from deep. Or no, that was against Cleveland. I'm sorry. I have 3 box scores up because I am bad at memorizing
things.
Because
you're prepared. You're prepared to podcast?
Exactly.
Shabazz Muhammad was 1 of 3. But.
He was 1 of... Okay, but the last 3 games. 3 of 4, 2 of 3, 1 of 3.
Math is hard.
I'm not going to add right now because screw that.
I'm going to say it's close.
But I think it's 6 of 10.
Sure. 60%.
That's pretty good. He's keeping it up. He's been everything off the bench that you need.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's an unpopular take that might not be provable by statistical measures, and maybe not even the eye test, but Nemanja Bjelica being more aggressive driving to the basket. He's not even like turning down open shots.
It's true.
He can't shoot threes worth a damn recently, or you know, so far in his NBA career.
Yeah,
at least not at an above average clip. But I do like that he is taking it to the hole. It's almost as if Thibodeau is saying, "Just take it to the hole and let."
It's working.
I'm not sure how much of it is sustainable because a lot of the layups he's making are really tough layup. But since you know I've pledged fealty to the guy since before he came into the league,
you did.
I think he could end up being a very critical role player in a Wolves team that may end up making a playoff run someday. I think it's good that he's driving to the basket more and you know figuring things out. I think.
I mean, he's probably maybe I'm wrong. He's probably faster than most dudes that are guarding him, especially when he's playing the four.
Maybe.
As I was saying that, I was like,
remember when you
maybe
said, maybe
not.
You're wrong? Maybe you're wrong.
I think I'm just spewing alternative facts today. Yeah, I mean, it's been working. And on that note, Karl-Anthony Towns, he's been great all year. I feel like he's been more beastly in his play lately in that when he gets the ball in the post, he's using more physicality than I've ever seen.
Yeah, and
am I wrong? Like it's less fancy footwork, no contact hook shots away from the basket. He's getting more physical now. It feels like
it's like going back to his Kentucky days where he just got as close as
not even like when he was at Kentucky. A lot of his shots were that you know no contact hook. He'd step away and shoot the left shoulder hook. I feel like lately he's lowering his shoulder and getting more physical in the paint.
I can see that. He's been a monster.
He has.
There was the whole graphic, or not graphic, the little montage, if you will, Jim Pete put together yesterday of his
top five animals.
Well, there was that, which
that was incredible.
We don't need to talk about that. That one spoke for itself. But his offensive rebounding, his ability to fly into the lane and grab offensive rebounds without fouling, is pretty impressive too. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is just a monster, and I think inevitably we're going to look back and say, oh, well, maybe he should have been an all-star this year. But I'm glad he didn't make it, because it might make him hungrier.
Yeah.
Might make him hungrier.
I like that. Make him want it more. Whatever that means.
As far as cliches go. Oh, so you want to do this again tomorrow?
Maybe. I don't know when. Like after the game?
Sure. Or before. Yeah, after. I'm thinking after.
We'll see how I'm feeling.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. As you can tell, Timmy Fakeless has a little horse in his throat, but I think that's good for today. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, maybe even before the game, maybe even if it's just me. But for Tim, at TimFaklis, my name is Zachary Bennett. This has been the Locked On Wolves Wired podcast. Until next time, so long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.